Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. I'm your host, George Wacker, and today we're joined by Greg Piccolo ahead of his April 24th performance at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem. Greg has spent decades as a touring and recording artist, and now he's getting ready to share something new with 11 original songs set for release on an upcoming record this June. This Godfrey Daniels show will be the first chance for audiences to hear some of that new material live, including songs that feature Greg, not just on saxophone, but on vocals as well. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Michael Bernadin of Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Wing Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and our friends at Banco Beverage Company. Check us out on lbwithlove.com. And we're going to get right into talking to Greg Piccolo ahead of his April 24th performance at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem. One interesting thing we were talking about before we started is how Godfrey Daniels, this show on April 24th, is going to be the first time that people hear songs from your record live, the new songs. Can you talk a little bit about all of this? I'm going to let you go for a little bit.
Well, you know, I've been a musician for 60 years plus. Sure. I'm probably 63 of going on 64. I'll be 75 in May. I've always, through my teenage years, I played rock and roll, and I was singing, and I tooted on the horn. But it wasn't until I joined Roomful when I was 20 years old that I got serious about playing the sax. And I love to play the sax. It'll always be part of what I do. But I've been a songwriter since the 80s. And I've written stuff that even when I was in Roomful, I wrote a bunch of songs on an album called Dressed Up to Get Messed Up. And we got really good reviews on that record. And my songwriting was noticed on that, and I felt good about what I did. And through the years, the 90s and early 2000s and beyond, I don't know what I've written since 2010, but I'm just finding these things that I never put out, and I always thought that they were good songs and deserved a chance, you know, and to be heard, to let my children go. And that's what I'm doing with this record. It's not about me. It's not about me being a sax player or even a singer. It's about the songs that I wrote. And that was my main object in doing this recording. So that's what it is.
You said you're going to be singing on this as well, which is something, you know, you didn't do as much. I think it's great that you're trying new stuff, right? It's 75 and incorporating new. Talk a little bit about that. Why did you decide that you wanted to sing, and then maybe talk about how that all went?
I've been singing all along. I was, after Duke Robillard left Roomful, I became the singer. And it's like I was always there to try to fill any position that I needed to. Sure. Needed to fill, and I always liked singing, and I've been singing. So I did tunes by other people that I loved, and then I was writing songs, and some of them fit with Roomful, and we started doing some of those, and it's just all gone from there. Through the 90s, when I left Roomful, and 94, I started a little group called Greg Piccolo and Heavy Juice, and I had a record contract with Fantasy, and I wrote songs. You know, I did some of my stuff. I mixed it up. That's what I've been doing ever since I left Roomful, mixing up the sax that I love and that sound, but also writing songs that I felt shouldn't have been left behind, and they mean something. You know, they are what they are, and they're good songs. So I believed in the songs too. So it was always this thing pulling at me. You should play the sax. No, you should get these songs out. Well, mm-hmm. I'm getting the songs out now.
I'm curious, you know, you said 60 years is amazing. And it's amazing that you're still going strong and releasing music. And I want to learn a little bit more about how you started. Like in the beginning, how did you first get your hands on an instrument? Like what was that all like?
Well, when I was, you know, my sister and I'm 2 years older than she is. When we were kids, we used to sing songs and jump up and down on my parents' bed list because the hi-fi was in their bedroom and right. play records. So it was always liked music. And so that's where the love of whatever we loved, you know, you like mm-hmm. what you like, you know, it's, you hear things and it's not about what kind of music is this or anything like that. It's just, you like it. If it's good, it's, you know, to you, it's good. And hopefully, you know, good music is good songs are good songs. Good music is good music. And so we grew up with that. And then when I was 13 years old, instead of mowing lawns, I decided to start a band. Not knowing how to really play anything. So I got my first band was called The Rejects, and it was way ahead of its time, you know, because that was back in 1964. And I didn't write any tunes back then. I was singing, I was the front man for the band. I had an alto that I could tune on. I never learned how to read music. I still don't, but I knew I wanted to play the tenor because I liked the sound of the records in the 50s. When the 60s came, I didn't know who any of those players were because all that music was gone from the radio. It wasn't there anymore. It was all the Beatles. And so, you know, I was very malleable back in those days I was molded into what I became. I was influenced by all of that stuff. I always loved the sound of a tenor sax. Mm-hmm. But I love singing the songs, too, the Beatles songs and the Animals. And Dave Clark Five. And in fact, when I met Duke Robillard, when he moved into the town that I lived in, we were playing a gig at the YMCA on Friday night. And I had never met Duke before. And he walked up to me and the first thing he said to me, "What's your favorite songs?" I said, "Reelin' 'em Rockin', Roll Over Beethoven, and Around and Around." And then he said, "Did you ever hear of Chuck Berry?" And I said, "No." Because I heard of the Rolling Stones, the Animals, and the Dave Clark right. Five. So that's how I met Duke, and, you know, we had it all through our teenage years. We were playing in things together and, you know, apart too, but that was fun. It was a great teenage time. And then he started Roomful, and I had my own group, you know, and I decided that he was such a great guitar player and a strong influence on me at that time that I just wanted to play in his band, you know. Mm-hmm. So he wanted a sax player, so I had gotten a tenor by then, and that's when I started listening to it's really getting into the tenor. And it wasn't about me doing any one particular thing, but it was Duke was the singer, I sang some songs, but it was about the tenor, and I was totally absorbed in that back in those days. And then it just, Bob, the manager of the band of Roomful back in the 80s, he said, the record company, we were on Rounder, I think, that time, mm-hmm. Bullseye Blues or whatever they called it. And he said, they want original songs. I said, well, I can try to write a song, you know, whatever happens. And that was the beginning of the songwriting. And I realized that I really liked the songs that I wrote.
And so did you have any like formal training? You kind of just, you learned as you went.
Well, yeah. But I, my formal training was up being out in the middle of it all, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's so amazing. Yeah.
A lot of musicians are that way. And, you know, as far as like being a horn player, I'm not crazy about being in a section because I don't, back in the Roomful days, we learned things by just playing together and figuring out what we're going to do. And we'd learn one song at a time. We'd memorize the songs, of course, but when you're learning 15, 20 new songs at one time, you need to be able to read. And that's the way most guys are. But I was always the leader of the band. After Duke left, I was the leader of Roomful. I was the leader of my own groups. So I knew what I wanted to do. The other guys had to figure out how to do it with me.
So is everything up here? Like you don't bring sheet music with you or anything like that?
For most of my career, I've never used a set list or anything. I just feel it out as I go. On this particular record, I need to write the songs down, the titles, to make sure I get them all in there.
Was there anything different when you approached recording these 15 new songs? Like, was it different than things that you've done in the past? Did you approach it differently?
Well, I decided to go for it. You know, like, how much more time do I have left here? And I decided to see what I can produce in the studio or make happen. And I had met Terry Manning, the producer of this record, who's a famous producer, and he was living in El Paso, which is where he was from originally. He spent a lot of years in Memphis at an art studio. He produced many people. See, a lot of ZZ Top stuff. And let's see. He did Shania Twain. He did. He worked with the T-Birds on Powerful Stuff. He engineered with back in the day in the 60s. He was working on stuff by everyone. Otis Redding, Al Green, you know, you name it. He was in the studio. He might not have been the name on the record, but he was the guy. He was an engineer. He learned from the ground up. He didn't know anything about recording either when he first started. He went to the studio, got a job, and did whatever he needed to do to get make the engineers happy. And he learned that way. And there's some things you can learn. You know, it's always good to have a combination of the two things, of the knowledge, school knowledge, and the experience of knowing what you're looking for. I have got all guys with me that basically are schooled musicians. And if I say I want this certain thing, they know how to translate it into the musical language.
So I'm
very grateful for that, to have guys like that to work with.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking in the timeline-wise. When I left Roomful, I put out the first Fantasy record, and I think I had seven original tunes on that record, and they're really good songs. But the record, you know, just... They were things I had issues with, and I still believe in those songs. I think I'm going to go back and re-record them. If this achieves some success, I will go back in and revisit those songs. And I also did the same thing with an album called Acid Blue on Fantasy. And then the next Fantasy record was called Red Lights. And I wrote a bunch of songs on that as well, you know, probably seven or eight tunes. It's a really good record. It's the songs are great, and I think of records as do you want to do the same thing, or every song and do every, you know, like doing all blues songs? I'm not that kind of a blues guy. I'm I want the people to be interested in hear things that they've never heard and hear a variety of stuff that fits together. In my mind, it all fits together. It's either good or it's not. So
do you feel like you're still evolving as a musician, even 60 years into it? Like,
well, yes and no. I mean, yes, because, you know, I know what I like, and that really hasn't changed that much. And I like what I like at the time that I'm talking to you or talking to somebody else, but the things that I like are always there. I can't say I don't like Chuck Berry or the Beatles I like all the musicians that I've liked through the years. I take them with me, and I'll think of things when hear things in my head that make me. Sometimes I'll hear a song and I'll say, I want to write a song that way. I don't have a particular way of writing a song. I don't have a method. It's just, they happen. I'll get an idea. I'll know in my head what I want it to be. I'll know what kind of a groove it's going to be. Or I sit at the piano and pluck a few notes because I'm not a piano player. I might find a chord that I never heard before.
Right.
And the guitar, same way. I'm not playing guitar on this record. I have a different guitar player. But it is all, you hold the guitar, you write a song, you know, it's like.
Make it sound so easy, right?
To me, it is easy while I'm doing them. I know what I want them to be almost before. Once I get the idea of what the title's going to be, the title tells me what kind of a song it's going to be, and then it just comes out. You know, it kind of happens that way.
So I know this is a cliche question, but like for you, then it would be, which is interesting actually, it would be the words, so the title, and then you write from there.
Yeah, usually the way I've done it in the past, so I haven't done it in the last 10 years. I'd get an idea for a song, a title, and I don't write them down. I tell myself, if you remember this tomorrow, then it might be something that you could do something with. Fair. If you forget it, then I can't even remember what it was. So I'm going to forget about whatever it was that I thought was great yesterday. I haven't written really that many songs through the years. I write them when they come to me, whenever that may be. You know, and it's not about quantity for me. It's about just making it a good song.
Sure. And have you played Godfrey Daniels before? I apologize for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's their 50th year, and this is a really interesting show for you in the fact that you're debuting these songs. Can you kind of talk a little bit about Godfrey Daniels and then also what people can expect?
The first time I played there, I believe it was, I don't know if it was when I was still in Roomful or not. You know, I think we might have played there once when I was in Roomful towards the end in the late 80s. And then Ramona gave me a gig in the early 90s. And I love that place. It's a great place. It's a great place to play music. It really is. I don't know if it's changed.
It's pretty, I mean, I wasn't there 50 years ago, but from what the pictures I've seen, it looks, you know, not too much.
Yeah. I mean, it felt good in there. That's all I know. And the people, you know, cause they're right there, and I love to have the people right in front of me. You know, I feel sorry for the ones who are too close, but you know, cause I would say you better bring your umbrella, you know, it's playing the sax. I don't want to spray.
Yeah, right. It's like an interesting, because there's not as many of these venues as maybe there were 30, 40 years ago. And I think there's even people in our town who don't understand how special it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, I played some pretty big gigs in the last 10, 15 years. You know, when I was with Jimmy Vaughn, we played at the Crossroads Festival with Eric Clapton and Robert Cray and B.B. King. And, you know, there were 30,000 people there. And all that is fun, but there's nothing like playing in a small room with the people really hearing it the way you hear it, basically. That's what it's about. So I've never been... I played at Lincoln Center with Jimmy I can't think of the name of the auditorium. A really, really great place, though. It held like 5,000 people, but it sounded great in there. So if it sounds good to me and I'm hearing the tone that I want to hear,
right,
it makes it so much easier. If I don't hear that, then it makes me start thinking of things, you know, like, whoa. This sucks, or, you know, it's why am I doing this?
Yeah. I'm busy, right? Well, hopefully not at the Godfrey Daniels show, you know, it'll be an opportunity for people to hear this new record. What's the plan? Do you release on Spotify? What do you do? Is it physical stuff? How do we get our hands on this?
Well, the album release date is June 19th. So
Okay. Technically
it won't be out when I play, but I'll be playing some of the songs. It's on Momojo Records.
All right. You know,
it's
heard, yeah.
And it's called Who Knows What the Future Holds. And it's all stuff that I wrote. It's 11. We recorded 15 songs. You had it right at the beginning. And it was hard to, you know, to leave anything out. They all deserve to be on there. But I started thinking there's too many songs on this record. You know, I narrowed it down to 11 songs.
Okay.
The attention span of, I think it'll hold attention. People that hear it, we shall see.
Well, we shall see. We're looking forward to it. April 24th at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem. I appreciate you taking some time to speak to me today, and we were looking forward to seeing you then.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks a lot, George.
Thank you.
See you there.